In this episode, I conclude my conversation with Palette Coffee Roasters owner Carl Kadolf. I think he's one of God's superheroes. If God has his own group of Avengers, I think Carl's on that squad. We talk about the importance for entrepreneurs to continually move forward, even when you don't know everything you think you need to know, when you don't have the resources you think you should have, or even when the world shuts down because of a pandemic. Carl says risk is an important element when it comes to faith, and mistakes are simply part of the journey. We conclude our talk with how to get involved with Carl's work if you feel inspired to do so. By the way, a great way to learn is to volunteer and help someone who is doing something you think is great. Let's get back to Carl, shall we? Hey, welcome to Chasing the Kingdom, where our goal is to provide hope and wisdom for spirit-led entrepreneurs. I'm John Balawa, and I believe God wants to use entrepreneurs to make the world better. Romans 8:19 says that the world is decaying and groaning for the revealing of God's sons and daughters. And that means the world needs you. And there are problems that can't be solved until you step into your God-given identity. If you want to stir up those gifts, then you're in the right place. Let's get hyped up for today's show. Last time I talked to you, you were trying to open up a life center. Did you ever open that up?
Yes. The life center, we'd actually are right next door to where Palette is. We have another building around the corner. It's about an 1,800 square foot building. And we're using that for mentoring, teaching. We do packing parties there for freedom bags that we distribute to the police departments, and they use these bags as kind of confidence builders for between police force and rescued victims of trafficking. And so there's a lot that's going on in the life center. But yeah, it's up and running and doing very well.
Do the girls stay there at the life center?
No, the life center we don't do any housing there. It's entirely for mentorship and training. You know, what we did was we took a step back at one point and we looked and we said, you know, what really is missing out as far as, you know, there's all these organizations that are fighting human trafficking. Now, there's a lot of them that are doing nothing other than trying to raise funds, and I wish they would just go away. But there's a lot of good ones too. But we took a step back to see, you know, where's the void? What isn't being done? And so we saw that somebody that has been trafficked and was rescued, the first thing that they usually do is they send them to a detox center and because their trafficker likes to keep them on drugs. And so we detox them. Then they'll go into a housing, like there's a place here in Sanford in Orlando called Samaritan Village. And they'll keep them for a year and help them kind of get on their feet to some extent. But at 12 to 15, maybe 18 months at the most, they've got to go because they've got to open a bed for another, you know, a new rescuee. And so at that point, they're not really ready to be out, and you know, on their own. They don't really have any training of any kind. They don't have a skill. They don't, you know, they just don't have a lot of options. And so we decided to use the Life Center to start training them as far as just simple things like, you know, finances, or we have entrepreneurial skill class that we teach. If somebody has an idea and they want to start a business, we help them start that business there, and whatever we can do, because there's a lot of them that have been lorded over for the whole time they were being trafficked. And so some of them do better being self-employed than they would having a boss that's telling them what to do all the time, and where all that does is trigger what they come out of. And so anyway, we try to provide all of these skills and just see where they fit, and then you know, we get it so that they can support themselves instead of running back to their trafficker, which sounds crazy, but there's a huge percentage if that's what happens. We have one that has come back and forth, I think, has run back three times. And all you can do is, you know, accept them with open arms when they come back. And eventually they'll be ready. But it's difficult when they go.
I imagine because of all the trauma, it's not a linear process.
Nothing you or I would understand.
Right.
You know, my wife understands it better than most because she's lived it. But it's just, you know, for just a layman person to walk in and none of this makes sense. None of it makes sense. But it's very, very true and it's very real to the people that are living.
The movie Sound of Freedom, I watched it. It's an amazing movie. Have you seen any effects in what you're doing because of the movie?
Yeah, I think we're seeing more traffic, more people, you know, just contacting us with interest of what we do and maybe looking for presentations, that type of thing. I think, you know, as a whole, it was a good film. I don't mean entertaining, but I think it was pretty realistic. The basis of it was out of the country, and I think it's important that Americans know that America is right there on top. You know, we have more than our share of problems with trafficking, and so that part was a little bit off, but all in all, I think it was a good movie, and I think it was good for the cause, we'll say. The other thing that with something like that, you don't know what the long-term effect is going to be because one of the big challenges for us is we work with the legislature and we try to get new laws passed and that type of thing. And something as simple as a movie that might touch somebody, you know, like a senator's wife's heart, and she may come home and say, you got to do something about this. And so you never really know all the good that something like this can do. But I think that movie has the potential to really create an impact that it may or may not get all the credit, but it'll still be there.
Which is why awareness and getting the message out there is so important, right? Because
absolutely,
hearts need to be touched.
Yeah. And you know, we've really worked hard to try to figure out ways we can get the message out without making it so dark that you don't want to hear it, because it's just not a happy story. It's not. And so, I mean, you know, when we do our training, we do some role playing that we get to laugh and whatever, even though we're talking about a very serious subject. And but it's a real challenge to make it so that so that somebody that completes a training, you know, they can either feel like now I have the tools that I need to really do something, or they can feel, oh, this is horrible. Or, you know, I want to move to some other country because this isn't good.
Yeah.
So
you're doing a lot of great things. You and your wife, you're just doing a great work for God. And this podcast basically started because God showed me that he was going to use people through entrepreneurship to change the world. Why coffee? What got you to open up a coffee shop to start funding these great things that you're doing?
We were looking, like I said, we were looking for something so we could have a recurring income from a business. My wife was speaking at Palm Beach Atlantic University. She was a keynote speaker. And she was down there speaking every morning for a week. And the professor that we work with there called her, hey, there's this place I need you to see. And he had no idea why he needed to see it or anything. But anyway, it was her, my daughter, and my daughter's mother-in-law. That the three of them were together. And he took them to this coffee house. And it was actually owned by a church. But yet it was, you know, it didn't have Bible verses all over the walls. It didn't, nowhere did I see it says Hebrews by one place. but anyway, he took them there. And when the three of them stood there. It's like, this is what we need to do. And it just immediately was, this is what we need to do. And so I went down there on a Friday to just support her speaking and whatever. And she says, I got to take you to this place. She didn't say a word to me about any of this, you know, about what had gone on before. She says, I got to take you to this place. And so we walked in the same coffee place. It's called Common Grounds. It's in Lake Worth. And actually we're very good friends with the owners of it now, because we've talked to them about Pallet. They've visited Pallet many times. We've visited their place many times. And so anyway, but he's a pastor. And so anyway, we walked in and literally the hair on my arm stood up and I said, we got to do this. And so we came back and we just started looking at potential places. We didn't have really any funding. We didn't know anything about what we were doing. We didn't know about coffee. We just thought, this is what we need to do. And so our silly little idea of how we were going to do it, God must have just been saying, oh, you guys are so cute, because it would have never worked. And that's part of the reason why, you know, competitors will come into town and people will say, aren't you worried so-and-so is coming into town? It's like, you know what? This is God's coffee shop. It's not our coffee shop. And so he'll either protect it or he'll shut it down, one or the other. You know, he doesn't have to worry about it better. And so anyway, we made the decision. We came back, started looking for locations, and we really prayed about it a lot. We had a team from Palm Beach Atlantic come for over an Easter, and we took them to the area we were thinking about. We did a prayer walk through the whole city. And it was fascinating, because the places that in all of our business knowledge judgment that we would think are just perfect, the door would just slam on us somehow, whether it was a bad landlord or just whatever. There was a lawsuit at one place that we didn't want to be involved in. So there's no way we would lease it, and just stuff that, I mean, God just saw to it that he directed us to the exact spot where he wanted us. And that is where we are now. And so, we ended up, when the first time we looked in the window of where we are now, Tina, my wife, she peeked in the window and turned around and says, we can never make anything out of this place. And the next day we rented it or leased it. And so after we had a lease and everything was signed and sealed, deposit was paid, all of that, he woke up the next morning and it's like, what are we doing? We don't even know anything about coffee. And she had this like panic attack. And I tried to remind her of when Jesus healed, he said, pick up your pallet and walk. He didn't say try to walk. He didn't say try to crawl away. He said, pick up your pallet and walk. And interestingly enough, my wife also talked to one of our daughters, and that daughter gave her the same verse and said, this isn't something that we're supposed to have second guesses on. God told us to do it. Let's just get on our pallet and go. And so we did. That's part of the reason why the name is Pallet, is stringing back to those discussions that we had. So that's kind of how we did it and why we did it. We did become very educated about the coffee world in that process. And over the years, we consider ourselves some of the experts in the area now. But back when we first started, I didn't even know there wasn't an X in espresso.
I remember you telling me when you first started, you didn't even have a professional machine. It was just that was simple. Simple coffee maker.
We were gonna, for espresso, we were planning on just using a Sumer style, which is like 5 minutes between espressos. And I look at it now, we're probably doing an espresso every 30 seconds right now at Celanon. I mean, they're going out the door about every 30 seconds. We would have been shut down immediately, but even with that, I mean, like I said, we didn't have any resources. We didn't really have a plan other than just follow how God guided us. And during that time, we had some property in Orange City, and it wasn't for sale. It was just sitting there. And out of the blue, while we were renovating Pallet, this guy called and he said, "Hey, you own this property over here, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Are you interested in selling it?" And so we ended up selling it, which gave us enough money to where we could really do Pallet right, buy the right equipment. But again, I never even thought to put it up for sale. It was like God sent this buyer to us. 30 days later, it's closed and done, cash deal. And so he really just provided everything. So
I love how you said, you know, pick up your pallet and walk, that verse, because I think that is a lot like how entrepreneurship works. And I also think that's a lot how life works. I know when I started different businesses, I didn't know what I didn't know, you know, and sometimes you just got to go. Sometimes you just have to listen to your gut, and you just have to use your faith. But the thing about faith doesn't, it's not faith if you see it. It's not faith if you know where you're going. There has to be a stepping off of a cliff.
That's right. Exactly right. So the other thing is, I think a lot of people freeze up, even when God is calling them to do something, for fear they might fail. And you know, ever since the beginning, even with our silly little projections that we thought we were going to do with Pallet, that we would have never stayed open if we would have done such a minimal amount of money, you know.
Yeah.
But even with all of that being said, we've started other businesses that, we had them open for a year or 2 years or whatever, and ended up making a decision to close them. But we don't see that as failure. We see it as, you know, we did this, God was calling us to do it for this period of time, time's over, shut it down and call it a day. And so, I mean, that's one reason, like with survivors, we really try to encourage them, if they're business-minded at all, we encourage them to, we'll help them build or write a business plan. We'll help them get insurance. We'll help them figure out how, you know, a good accountant so that they can start out by paying their taxes instead of having to catch up 10 years later. And just things like that, you know, there's so many people that start businesses at, you know, it was their hobby. And so they go to the, you know, the Saturday market and they make a little money doing that. And you know, they've never ever paid sales tax and they've never paid income tax on any of that because it was just a fun thing and there wasn't a lot of money. And then they turn it into their full-time thing and they're still not paying taxes, but catch that up someday. And you know, it's no way to start. And so, we're trying to help them with, you know, kind of the education that we, you know, I've been a business owner since 1975. And so, you know, different businesses doing different things, but we've made a lot of mistakes and we've learned a lot. But the one thing that we came to the conclusion of many years ago, we're following what God is calling us to do, then nothing can be a mistake. And the key to that is getting to a point to where you can really hear God's voice and not your own voice. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge because we still have a selfish desire. We got, you know, we want to have it all, but God's voice might not always be saying it. I always get a kick out of people that say that they're going to, you know, buy a car that they can't afford. And they say, "I'm praying over it overnight." Well, you really need to. So I think God's already said no, you know, but we kind of, you know, usually when that person prays about it overnight, next day they're signing the paperwork because I don't know how they got the answer, but this God would never say, you know, go finance more than you can afford. But anyway, that's where we're at.
Hard lessons.
That's right.
Going back to the name Pallet, I remember stepping into your coffee house for the first time, and it was such a beautiful design. And I didn't realize it, but you used actual pallets,
absolutely.
To design.
Yeah.
Now,
Annie, Go ahead.
Could you tell me or remind me the reason why you used pallets? You said there was a, it actually symbolized something.
Yes, there's actually several reasons, but one is referring back to the point we had no money and I could get pallets for free. And we had a farm at that time, or not a farm, but we had a little 5-acre parcel. And my wife had wanted me to make her some outdoor furniture out of pallets. And so I had already saved about, I probably had 60 or 70 pallets out by our barn. And when we decided to move forward with this, we were looking for the most inexpensive way we could do everything we wanted to do. And so using those pallets just made sense. We made the front counter out of all pallets. There's a bench seat in an area that's all pallets. We just pretty much every bit of the interior originally. We've changed some of that out now because, you know, a lot of it's just plain worn out. It's seen a lot of people over the years. And so a lot of it we've changed out, but originally everything was made out of pallets, primarily because of lack of money. But then the meaning behind that too is we really liked the fact that with somebody that's been trafficked, well, we'll just say with a pallet, they put all, you know, you lay a pallet down on the ground and you put all of the valuable stuff on top of the pallet. And then you use that pallet to haul the valuable stuff around. But when you're done, you just throw the pallet in the trash because it's just disposable and it's trash. It's no good to anything. When in reality, we're feeling like the victims of trafficking are treated much the same way. They're just disposable, they're tossed aside, whatever. So we just felt like it was a great analogy that they're looked at as being useless, and we want to turn them into something beautiful, like we did pallet, where the tables are all made out of pallets, but they're beautiful tables. And so that's what we're doing with human beings as well. When society is saying they're not worth anything, trying to show them their self-worth and how valuable they are.
I highly recommend anyone who is within traveling distance to Sanford, go pay a visit, because it really is eye-opening to see how beautiful it is and how, just like, you know, Carl said, is he used stuff that people throw away. And that's the people you're helping. They're beautiful, you know. Yep. They just need to be recognized.
Absolutely.
How did COVID affect you guys? That had to be challenging.
Yeah, it was. It was for whatever reason, the coffee world was never shut down. It's considered a necessity. And so we never did have to close. We went through a period where we couldn't have but one person in the building at any one time. So people would stand outside and kind of in line waiting to come in. We kind of made a decision, though, when we saw that this wasn't going to end quickly, that we watched our numbers very closely. And as long as we were making enough each day to where we could pay our employees, you know, because we had the option to shut down and we could reopen when COVID was finished or whatever. But we made a decision we would stay open as long as we could, as long as we were at least paying our payroll. I paid most of our rent out of my pocket, our utilities out of pocket, but we wanted to make sure that we made enough to make our payroll. And again, I feel like it was a God thing, but there were times we were really close. But we never missed a payday, and I'm really, really proud of that, because I feel like it's God was just protecting it from even something like COVID that Satan throws at the community and shuts the community down with. But it definitely had an effect. That, you know, the other side of that though is, I think with so many people being shut down when COVID was pretty much over, which in Florida, it was considered over before most of the rest of the country. We were kind of open before most. But during that time, people were ready. People were ready to go spend some time in a coffee shop or go out to eat or whatever. And so we did lose a lot during the actual worst part of COVID. But we did have some amazing numbers right after that. So I won't say it even came close to making up for the losses, but it still was very encouraging because they were back, and that was a good
thing. What is the future for Pallet Coffee? Are you expanding? Do you have anything in the works?
Yeah, we're constantly looking for areas for other locations, and we're not really looking at becoming a huge franchise place or anything like that. But we have a couple of areas that we would really like to represent, and that are close enough to the one in Sanford where we can easily manage, you know, multiple places. But with that being said, we haven't really found the spot that God is just saying, do it. You know, we're not at the pallet, get up and walk, you know? Right. And so until we get that direction, we'll continue looking, we'll continue doing our part, and then we'll pray about it and see when, you know, if he says go, we go. And if he doesn't, we, you know, in the coffee world, the best thing to do is to have multiple locations, because the big part of your overhead can work towards three locations and split the cost of that between three locations versus all of the cost of that going through one location. And so we recognize that and we want to do that, but we're not going to get ahead of God no matter what. And so that's kind of where we're at. In the meantime, we are we're expanding to some extent. Where we're adding food, we'll have three or four breakfast sandwiches and different things so that will be prepared right on site, and then we'll have three or four that will be for afternoon or, you know, lunchtime, evening, and so, you know, our main thing until we find that next spot is to maximize what we can do with the square footage that we have. And that's actually going to kick off next week, as far as we'll be handing people free samples when they come in and just get their input as far as our recipes that we've come up with, and then and see what our input is. So that's happening very quickly.
Nathaniel Seta is a good friend of mine. He owns Duo 58. He said he was over at your place recently.
Yeah, I see him. Yeah, I see him every now and then.
He's an excellent cook. He could probably give you some ideas on the breakfast sandwich.
Yeah,
you should. He's always experimenting, and I'm always working from his coffee shop because I live near Duo 58, and he'll like experiment and let me try like what he's doing, and he's always coming up with some really cool ideas.
Right. Yeah, maybe, you know, as we expand it, maybe I should talk to him. He and I spoke quite often when he had his location in Oviedo. But since they moved, I haven't talked to him nearly as much. But yeah, no, they're doing well. They're a good company in the area too.
Yeah, he's getting ready to unleash a chicken and waffles dish, and he told me that he believes the chicken is better than Chick-fil-A's chicken. So I want to try that.
There you go. He's probably right.
Now, is it just one pallet coffee site now? Or do you?
We had two. And that was one thing that that COVID kind of ended the second one. We were in the second one
at
was
Canterbury?
It was at Canterbury. And because of COVID, they decided to completely renovate the building, and so we went ahead and pulled everything out. And the plan was, once they were done renovating, we could make a decision whether we wanted to come back in or not. But when we looked at the numbers, it wasn't really worth it. It's a strange area back there, as far as if you don't know what you're driving into, the average person isn't going to pull off the road to go in there. And so anyway, we decided that wasn't the spot for us. We would, you know, if we do something in Oviedo, we would rather do storefront of some sort.
I tried to support you. I went there a few times to support, but like, you're right. It's hard. Like, I wouldn't have known unless you told me that was over there.
Exactly. And we really, quite honestly, we thought that we had enough followers in that part of Seminole County to where, you know, we would have, you know, a decent amount of support. And I think there was a lot of people that tried but there were just a lot of negatives there that the other thing is we thought with the conventions that they had and the different meetings and that type of thing that we would get, you know, pretty good influx. If they have 150, 200 people come for a weekend, that we thought that would be some good sales. But we didn't realize that when they do those, they're all inclusive. So the people are just drinking cheap coffee and walking past.
Yeah.
So it just didn't, you know, again, it's one of those things that didn't work out. It's okay. You know, we move on and look for God to call us to do the next thing. So
continue to grow. Like my pastor was talking this Sunday, he said he was using the scripture, we go from faith to faith, and our faith grows, right?
Exactly.
And so we are continually trying to go from faith to faith.
You know, the hardest part of that though is remembering what he's done in the past.
It's true.
I've preached on that so many times that I have all kinds of examples in my life, but one example I always like to use because it's not me, but we had some good friends that they were going through a very difficult time financially. And they came to a Bible study one Wednesday night and they were just ecstatic and guarded at the same time because they had gotten a notice saying that their mortgage company picks five houses every year to just forgive the mortgage. And I mean, it isn't something that they had to apply for. It was just, they got a notice saying that the mortgage company was going to forgive it. And so on one side, they're like, you know, this is so God, this is so, you know, this is the way he does things. And on the other side, it's like, but I'm going to wait until I see the deed and see that it's stamped because I don't believe it. And sure enough, it was all paid in full, cleared out. They didn't know a dime. And really everybody they would see, they would talk about how awesome God was and how he saw them through that time for probably 2 years. And then you never heard the story again. It was kind of just like they moved on and it wasn't fresh in their mind anymore. And I just believe that when God does something powerful in our life, which is all the time, but he does it so that we can encourage other people with it. And if we keep it to ourselves, we're really stealing from others. And we need to use our story to allow others to have that faith that you're talking about.
Yeah, I guess that. Do you journal?
What's that?
Do you journal?
You know, I try to, but I guess I would be more likely to say I'm really good at buying really cool looking journals.
I have been guilty of that, but I have been for a while now pretty disciplined with journaling, and it's amazing when I go back, I forget what God has done, and I'm like, oh wow, he did that, you know.
Exactly.
It's so exactly. We forget.
Yep. No, without a doubt. And you know, without the encouragement that we've had in our lifetime, without that to talk to other people about that are having super difficult times, you don't have much other promises if you don't use this, you know, the things that God has done for you. And so so it's really a great tool as long as you don't forget what he's done. And even with our own lives, you know, when we go through a tough time, we got to remember God saw us through, you know, worse than this. And it wasn't always pleasant, but here we are on the other end. And so we got to remember he's very much alive. He's very much active, and we got to give him credit where credit's due.
So I want to respect your time. And so I kind of want to end with two questions. The first one, and we'll just go one at a time. This podcast exists because God gave me a vision that he was going to use entrepreneurs to change the world. And I think you're just such a great example of what I saw. And because it's not about the huge businesses, what I saw anyway. It's about using tools, using giftings, using your talents in real world settings where real people are and touching their lives. What can you say to people who have this calling? Because you're just, you know, you're doing it. Like, what advice would you give to these people?
First thing that I would say is, I don't think we need to wait until we have a business or wait, you know, we need to look at the resources that we have right now in front of us and what can we do with them. If that means we have a car that runs pretty good and we have a neighbor that had hip surgery, let's go get them meals. Let's use what we have to you know, and I think really that's the best advice is we can look and we can think we have nothing, but we all are surviving. We all have resources that we can use to help other people. And I, you know, and the help is nice, but I also believe that every move that we make, people are watching us as believers. And most of them are watching us hoping that we'll fail. But at the same time, if you use your car, if you use your business, if you use, you know, whatever the case may be, over and over and over to help other people, eventually you're going to get an opportunity to talk to people about why you do it and who you're doing it for. And I just think it's really important to keep it focused on what God is calling and not what you desire. You know, if somebody wants to start a business because they want to get rich and they want to have a big business and that's their desire, more power to them. Go for it. Do what you want to do. But I believe that our businesses are on a totally different level from that. And so with that, it makes it really easy to just move forward and just continue doing what we're doing. And it makes it really easy to trust what God's calling. And so, but I think I don't think we're that unique. I think everybody's in that position. We just don't look at it that way. We all have it. It's just, what are we going to do with it? And so, so that's my take on that.
That's great. And then how can someone who wants to support Palette and what you're doing, what are things that you need or that you would desire to help you move forward?
Well, with Palette, I mean, the more eyes we had out there for other locations, that would be great. I mean, that's not really a need, but you know, there's somewhere out there that God is going to say yes, and that would be great to see what that is. And you know, since a portion of everything that we sell goes to fight human trafficking, you know, people can go online, they can buy our coffee. You know, they don't even have to come to the shop. We'll ship it anywhere. And all of that's helpful. We have, I mean, I guess the key answer to that too, though, is we have Love Missions, which if they went to lovemissions.net, they can become very, very active as a volunteer or as a contributor, whatever the case may be. They can come with us on mission trips. They can, you know, come and if they come to Guyana with us, they can actually, you know, hold the kids on their lap who we're rescuing and show them the love of Christ that way. And so there's a lot of opportunities, and that's lovemissions.net is that website. And so, you know, that's the direction to go. Let's put it that way.
Right before I got on this call, a friend of mine, he calls me every now and then just to check on me. And he's a former a guest on the show. He's a tech entrepreneur. And okay. He calls me and I haven't talked to him in months. And he says, "Hey, John, I moved." And I go, "Really cool. You know, I'm about to go into the podcast here, but like, where'd you move to?" He goes, "Sanford." And I was like, "Oh, well, I'm about to talk to a guy who has a coffee shop over there." He goes, "Really? Because he likes working out of coffee shops." And so I said, he goes, could you And I told him your story. I said, oh, yeah, this guy's helping girls, women and girls get out of sex trafficking. And he goes, send me the name for that coffee place. So you may have a new guy who's going to come over there and work from there.
Tell him to introduce himself to me when he sees me.
I will. His name's Josh Pagley. And if you want to listen to his episode, really interesting guy. He I'll even text you his episode. He actually has two episodes. And really amazing story by God. And he was always a believer. Like, this guy always had the entrepreneurial bug. When he was a kid, he was making more than all the adults in his life because he started mowing lawns and he just built this business. He built it so big. He was making more money than adults. And then he was going to sell it, ended up just giving it away because he didn't want to hurt the clients. A lot of them were elderly and he wanted to make sure that they were taken care of. Then he got into the tech scene and now he has several tech companies. And so I will tell him to introduce you and I will send you his episodes.
Would love to meet him. Yep, that would be awesome. One thing I'll just put in your ear, and that may be for another podcast, but we did open another company, which is called Juniper Mountain Coffee Company.
Oh.
And it's actually based out of Boca. But it's not like a coffee shop. It's entirely intended to be wholesale. And so we bought a couple of 10,000 square foot buildings, and we've got two huge roasters there, and we have all the automated packaging equipment. And anyway, it's another, there's quite a story behind it as far as how it all started, where, it could be nothing other than a God thing. This guy from Oregon, that's a gold miner, called us out of the blue, that we had never spoken to him before in our life. And, he's our financial partner on that one. It's totally separate than Pallet.
But we're going to do that episode. We need to get that story out.
Yeah. It's a cool story. And again, it's a story, you know, you're partnering with somebody that you don't know anything about. And so, you know, there's all of these evil thoughts that go through your mind, but then the other part of it is it's a God thing. And so, anyway, we're at that point now where actually that's why I'm going to Texas tomorrow, is we have some shows that we're doing just to try to get the name Juniper Mountain. But check Instagram and look up Juniper Mountain Coffee Company and just check out some of our videos and stuff. We've got some pretty cool videos. And
I will look that up right after this.
I say with that also, and this is, like I said, probably another podcast, but we made a trip to Panama, and my son-in-law and I did. And we set up a contract to buy all of the beans that about 15 farmers could produce, or 15 different farms. And so we actually sent a lady that is an expert on utilization of land and how to create shade for coffee trees that might need it, or, you know, fertilizers that are non-toxic, and just all kinds of different things. We're seeing to it that everybody is paid fairly, because we're fighting human trafficking. We don't want the farmers to take advantage of the people that, you know, do all the work there. And so we've seen their living conditions. We've shaken hands with the farmers. Our first order was 1 million pounds of beans, which we just took the last delivery of that about a month ago. And so we have 1 million pounds of beans sitting there. We don't have any sales yet, but it's coming.
That's great.
So, but like I said, that's all going to be wholesale. And it'll be like, we're looking for Costco. We're looking for Publix. We're looking, you know, high volume. And we knew that we had to be 100% set up to do it. And so really for a year, we've been working on that building and getting all the equipment set up, getting it so it's tested. Getting all of our licensing, and so now we're at that point. So anyway, that was the business.
Well,
we're in Montana.
I'm going to keep this in this episode so that it's the prelude to, and they'll hear it. And then you and I are going to do another episode where we get that story out.
Okay. Excellent. Let's do it.
I appreciate your time, and it was really good seeing you again.
Hey, I hope you liked the show. If you got something from it and want to bless me back, leave a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, and also subscribe to my channel. If you want to connect with me on social media, my Instagram is @kingdom.moves. I pray that God gives you hope and that you step into everything He's got planned for you. Peace.